I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Charles Francis Adams was a political figure and a diplomat during the 1800s. He was one of many men in that day who kept a diary. One entry in his diary stated this: "Went fishing with my son today. A day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary. And on that very same day, Brooke Adams made this entry in his diary: "Went fishing with my father. The most wonderful day of my life." The father thought he was wasting his time. His son saw it as an investment of time. The only way to tell the difference between wasting and investing is to know one's purpose in life and then to judge accordingly. That illustration provides a backdrop for our teaching from God's Word today. This is the Voice of Hope, and I'm your host, J. Mark Horst. I'm delighted to have you join me as we look into the Word of God and learn what He has to say about men as fathers. But before we do that, here's the choir to remind us of the love and care of our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Altar of Praise Chorale. What a marvelous and wonderful Heavenly Father we have. And you know, He is the example of what earthly fathers should be. I realize we can never match His sinless perfection, but we are called to be His representatives here on earth. Today, the role of fathers is in crisis. Recently, the cover article on The Atlantic magazine was titled, "The End of Men." In the article, the female author explained how men, in many ways, are becoming irrelevant in our society and culture. Now, obviously, the article was written from the perspective of a person who is not a follower of Christ. So it gives us some clue as to where the wider culture is headed in its understanding of men and fathers. These developments pose a great challenge to those of us who strive to teach and maintain a biblical view of men and fathers. And that's what we want to discuss on today's edition of The Voice of Hope. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us clear direction in your word on the subject of men and fathers. Thank you that as our Heavenly Father, you are the model for us human fathers. Right now, I pray that you will open my heart and the heart of my friend who is listening, so that together, we can learn what you have for us on this important subject. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. In a courtroom many years ago, a young man was being sentenced to prison. The judge had known him ever since he was a child, and he was also acquainted with his father, who was a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study that was titled "The Law of Trusts." "Do you remember your father?" asked the magistrate. "I remember him well, Your Honor," came the reply. And then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "As you're about to be sentenced, and as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" There was a pause, and then the judge received this answer: "I remember when I went to him for advice. He looked up at me from the book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy. I'm busy. When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away, saying, Run along, son. This book must be finished. Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend. After hearing this, the magistrate muttered to himself, Alas, he finished the book, but he lost the boy. You and I grieve over the tragedy of that broken relationship between father and son. But let's not rush to judgment. After all, how many of us have said similar words to our children? The only difference being, we weren't writing a book. The degeneracy of our culture is a daily reminder that this kind of ineffective fathering has been perhaps the most common method in recent decades. And as a result, many young fathers are unsure about what a father's role is or should be. If you're a pastor or a community leader, and a young father comes to you for advice, what would you tell him? In our community, we have a government-funded Center for Families that runs something called the Fatherhood Initiative. And there's probably something similar where you live. Would you send a young father there to that organization? Well, I will, as the saying goes, lay all my cards on the table right here at the beginning. Any organization or group that proposes to help fathers understand their role, but is either forbidden by law to use the Bible as a guide, or simply ignores the biblical principles of fatherhood, will not have a lasting impact. If you or I or anyone else really want to help men understand and fulfill their role as fathers, there is only one primary source book, and that's the Word of God. Amen? Now, the conviction that the Word of God is the primary source of wisdom and training for fathers leads us back to the principle we've noted several times in the past few weeks. The dual responsibilities given to men in Genesis 2:15, to work and to keep. Today, we will begin to examine how these two basic commands provide a foundation upon which to develop our understanding and practice of men as fathers. As we begin, I will read several selected verses of Scripture which have a direct bearing on the topic we are addressing. So I invite you to listen as I read. First, Genesis 2:7-9, and then verse 15. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now jumping down to verse 15, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Then Proverbs 23, verse 26, My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And finally, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These scriptures and others remind us that the main responsibilities of working and keeping are fulfilled in the processes of fathering. They are discipling and discipline. The first process is the discipling of children. You know, there is a fairly common lament among fathers today that goes something like this. Pastor, I have a problem. I just found out that my 16-year-old son is hanging out with friends I disapprove of, and he's using drugs. I have no idea how this could happen. I spent a lot of money to send him to Christian school. Our family was always in church on Sunday morning, and we faithfully sent the children to vacation Bible school. My wife and I monitored his friends to make sure they came from good families, and we tried to screen the TV shows he watched. We even spanked him when he was little. Where did we go wrong? I would say that the problem was not what this man and his wife did. It's what he as a father left undone. Any father who believes that providing a Christian structure for his child will be sufficient to make him a godly person is only kidding himself. Controlling media content, screening friends, and making sure they attend church will not guarantee that a child turns out to be a faithful Christian. That myth should have been debunked long ago, but you know, unfortunately, there are still a multitude of fathers who have bought into it. And those who do are following a recipe for disaster. What is really necessary is the discipling of children. Let's think about discipling. A disciple is a follower, and in order for there to be a follower, there has to be a leader. A disciple is also a learner, so there must be a teacher or a role model from whom the disciple can learn. And being a disciple of someone or something also implies connectedness. There's a relationship there. In the context of discipling, it's fairly simple to discover what God has in mind for men who are fathers. Now notice, I said it's simple to discover. I didn't say it was simple to do. A very important part of a father's work is to nurture and disciple the children God entrusts to him. And to do that, a father must understand the importance of having the heart of his children. As I said a few moments ago, discipleship implies a relationship, a connectedness. That's what a father needs in order to impact the lives of his children. He needs their heart. And I repeat Solomon's words in Proverbs 23:26 that I read earlier. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe or delight in my ways. What does Solomon mean when he asks his son for his heart? Well, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it refers to the entire person, his thoughts, his desires, his affections, and his will. In Proverbs 4:23, we read these words, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And in Matthew 12 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." When Solomon asks for his son's heart, he's asking for the real person. He wants to enter into the desires and the affections and the thoughts of his son. Why? Because he knows that if he has the privilege of entering into that private space, he can have a huge impact on his son's life. But at the same time, he knows he cannot force his way into that inner sanctum. He must be invited. Let's pause here to note a few things that Proverbs 23:26 does not say. It doesn't say, "My son, give me your behavior." Neither does it say, "My son, give me your physical presence." While good behavior is important, we desire so much more than outward conformity to the guidelines of our family. Our world already has too many well-behaved sinners. And while the child's physical presence is important too, we know that his physical presence with us in our home, in the Christian school, and in the church is not the source of godly living. That source is in the heart. Now, if the key to effective discipling is to have the heart of our child, how do you and I get their heart in the first place? Well, I believe Proverbs 17:6b gives us a starting place. It says, "The glory of children are their fathers." If you're a father, and especially a father of boys, you would be amazed at all the things you can do. In the eyes of your little boy, you're the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, and the best at whatever you do. So right here is your doorway. Work at keeping what you already have. I am so thankful to my godly wife for encouraging me to build relationships with our children when they were small. She encouraged me, and this is key, to give my heart to my children instead of giving my heart to other people and pursuits. Her godly wisdom and counsel have paid huge relationship dividends for my children and for me. Now, I said earlier that a father cannot force his way into the heart of his child. He must be invited. How does that happen? Well, one way it happens is when a father leads by example, when he opens his heart to his son or daughter. Now that's not an event, that's a lifelong process. Fathers, do you know what your children need and want most from you? They want your approval. They want your acceptance. They want your encouragement and your attention and your time. Now, if you have trouble picturing in your mind what that may look like, try this. Think about how much your wife has sacrificed for you and your children. And then, like her, you may need to set aside career ambitions, recreational pastimes that don't involve the children, hobbies, sports. The list goes on. These are all part of the cost of discipleship, of receiving and then keeping your child's heart. In his book, The Masculine Mandate, Richard Phillips writes, "To really open up a child's heart, a father must observe the work and keep model of Genesis 2:15. There must be the working, as a father nurtures and cultivates the soil of the child's heart." So you may ask, how do we do that? How do we nurture and cultivate our way into the hearts of our children? First of all, we need to show our children how much we value them. Psalm 127 and verse 3 tells us that children are the treasure, literally heirlooms, of the Lord. Treasured heirlooms are carefully guarded and protected, even though their worth may be largely sentimental. Our children need to know that next to the Lord and their mother, they are our greatest treasure. And remember what Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Our children know whether or not we treasure them by how much we invest in their lives. Furthermore, we must open our hearts to our children. We must share with them the value of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our desire to see them enjoy the same. We can remind them of how we prayed for them before they were born and how we dedicated them to the Lord and to His service. We can confidently assure them that God has a plan and a purpose for their life, and we will do all we can to help them find and fulfill that plan. We can envision for them the godly young man or woman they will become, and then pledge our ongoing prayers as God works in them and through them. In learning how to cultivate and disciple a child's heart, I refer again to Richard Phillips' book, The Masculine Mandate. He gives 4 simple steps every father can use to be actively and intimately involved in receiving and keeping his child's heart. They are: read, pray, work, and play. Let's look at read. A father's primary ministry is a ministry of God's Word. Dads, there is no substitute for your children hearing the Word of God from your lips. No, you don't need to be a gifted pastor or teacher. You just need to be willing to read and explain the basic truths of Scripture to your children. You need to be able to make practical application to your life and the lives of your family members. Unlike the fathers I mentioned at the beginning of this message, you will understand that church services, Sunday school, VBS, summer camps, Christian school, and the church youth group will not be sufficient to bring the desired spiritual results in your child. You must read the Bible to your children yourself. You, Dad, are responsible to work out your family schedule so that, as a rule, each day contains a regular time when the family meets for Bible reading and prayer. As your children see the intersection of God's Word and your daily choices, they will most likely be led to embrace your faith in God. And then pray. Another way for fathers to nurture and care for the hearts of their children is through prayer. Pray for your children and pray with your children. When our children were very small, we started the practice of praying with them as we tucked them in bed. Now they no longer need to be tucked in, but we still pray with them at bedtime, even though some of them are teenagers. It's been a great blessing in my life. Prayer is a powerful way to connect our children with God. Worship, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving are all important parts of prayer. When we ask God to meet needs we have, then we help our children understand that we're not self-sufficient. When we pray for their needs, the things that are pressing on their hearts, they realize we care enough to know what they're facing. And we should also ask our children to pray for us. While we may not be able to share some of the details of what we're praying about, our children can pray that God would give us wisdom and guidance for making godly decisions. When a family member becomes ill, one of the first things we should do is gather the other family members around and pray. Our family has been blessed again and again to see God work in healing, avoiding trips to the doctor or the hospital. I simply cannot overemphasize the value of prayer as a part of discipling your children. And then work. Fathers need to teach their children how to work. This includes helping them with their work and including them in yours. When your children struggle with schoolwork, are you able to help them? And if not, are you willing to find someone who can? This conveys to your child that not only is the work important, but they're important too. When your child is working at developing a special skill, are you willing to give of your time to work with them and encourage them? And then there are chores. Every family needs chores: yard work, basic household maintenance, and more. For many years, we've had a dishwashing schedule in our household of 10 people. And no, I'm not talking about loading the dishwasher. I'm talking about washing the dishes by hand. And you know something? I'm on that schedule for the noon meal every Sunday. No, that's not a cop-out, because we don't go out to restaurants for Sunday dinner. Working with my children involves patience. Many times, I could do the job faster and better. But how are they going to learn if I don't allow them to try? If they give their best, I can praise their efforts, even though the results may leave something to be desired. That builds confidence and a desire to do better. I am so grateful to my parents and others who gave me opportunities to learn and grow in developing my skills. And then last but not least, fathers need to play with their children. I must confess, this is a part of nurturing that I've really enjoyed in the past and continue to enjoy today. I have fond memories of my dad playing games with me and my siblings. In fact, my dad is now playing games with his grandchildren. What a wonderful relationship-building activity. Not long ago, our whole family was together for a weekend away from home. We enjoyed our time together, hiking, swimming, volleyball, grilling hot dogs and burgers, sitting around the campfire, Sunday morning worship time, recalling old memories, and making new ones. It was truly a special time of investing in each other's lives through play. Read, pray, work, and play. Nurturing your child's heart in these four important areas will yield a precious harvest. And yes, I know, all these things require time. But as Richard Phillips reminds us, time is the currency with which you and I purchase the right to say, "My son or my daughter, give me your heart." This is the key to fulfilling your role as a father. This is the key to helping your child become a disciple of Jesus. Thank you, Sharon Singers. Truly, in times like these, we do need an anchor, the solid rock of God's unchanging word and his unchanging person. Friend, I hope and pray you were encouraged by this first part of our two-part study on men as fathers. If you know someone who would benefit from this teaching, you can get a printed transcript or an audio CD for them. Or you can point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to this teaching anytime that it's convenient for them. If you request the manuscript or the audio CD, it will contain the teaching you heard today, as well as the second part that will air the next time on The Voice of Hope. To request a copy of the program in print or on an audio CD, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. Look for our page as Heralds of Hope. Our Facebook page makes it easy for you to connect with us. Now here's that contact information again. The mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call our office toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Remember, you can request a transcript or an audio CD of the complete teaching, Men as Fathers. Thanks again for joining me today, my friend. I remind you that it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I invite you to join me next week for The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study with the second part of this teaching, Men as Fathers. So make plans to tune in. And until we meet again, make this your prayer.
You said if I believe, then you would save me. And long ago I looked to you and lived. But as I go from day to day, I so often lose my way. I'm ungrateful for everything you give. But I know that you have mercy on the fallen, and you'll stay behind when I lose the praise. So with my faith and trust in you, and your love to see me through, I'll never fall beyond the reach of grace. Lord, I miss the mark so many times. I slip and fall out of line. Though I aim to please, I never cease to miss your mark for my life. Lord, I want to do more than try with all I have to lift you high. Lord, I want to do my part. I want to hit the mark with you right here inside of me. I don't have to fall. Your Spirit's here to guide me when I give to you my all. Lord, I miss the mark so many times.